behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, and welcome to Car Stuff. I'm Scott Benjamin.
And I'm Ben Bowen.
Ben had a rough start here. I almost knocked over the table. But I do want to discuss something today that is kind of, it's on the top of my mind, I guess. We didn't get a listener suggestion for this one, so it's kind of one of the, I don't know, the odd times when we kind of go on our own and recently, because we've been doing a lot of listener suggestions recently.
That's true.
And I think, like, sometimes we've got all these ideas kind of percolating in the back of our mind, like what we want to do. And one of them that I've been thinking about for a long time is Woody station wagons.
Surf City, here we come.
I knew you were going to come up with some kind of Beach Boys reference or something like that.
Well, that's what a lot of people are going to think of when they hear Woody station wagons. You know, I've got a 34, what is it? A 34 something, and we call it a Woody?
You catch me off guard.
I'm sorry.
But you know what? These types of vehicles are tied into, and significantly so, into the surf culture. You know, the Beach Boys with, you know, the Woody station wagons with the surfboards on top, and you
right.
know, parked near the beach with the sun setting in the background.
So you get it. You know what I'm talking about.
I totally get it. I understand. But they go back a lot farther than that, as a matter of fact.
They go much further.
Yeah, they go way, way back. So, man, where should we start on this one? I mean, do you want to go way back to the beginning of, we do this every time. We have to go way back to, like the start of the automobile, right?
Right. We have to go way back to the start of the automobile. We should also throw in a caveat here at this point. You and I were talking about this off air. We weren't quite sure. It's very difficult to pin down an exact production date for the first, real Woody automobile.
Yeah, that's right. So when we get to some of these dates, it's just going to be general terms like mid-30s, mid-40s, etc. And we'll kind of do that throughout. There's some, you know, very specific examples that we can point to.
Yeah, there are some definites for sure.
But you can't say the actual first one was right here because there are these weird transition periods that I guess if we just kind of start at the beginning and work our way through here, we'll find out what those transition periods were. But all of this really makes very good logical sense when you listen to it laid out the way we're going to.
Right. So here we are at the dawn of the automobile.
Mm-hmm.
And when we talk about the dawn of the automobile, what we have to realize is that a lot of automobiles were being constructed by what we would today call custom coach builders.
Mm-hmm.
And so think about this. We've mentioned this in earlier episodes. You buy a vehicle that is essentially an engine and, like a chassis, right?
Yeah,
the wheels.
There's maybe a seat perched up on top of a wooden box somewhere. Mm-hmm. But there's not much else there. Maybe a cowl in place, you know, for the windshield.
Yes. And when you buy a car, you're making two big purchases at this point. You're buying the engine and the seat and the cowl and some wheels, hopefully.
Sure.
But then your next step is to go to, coach builders who, as we learned, could be furniture makers, could be funeral directors.
Yeah, we've talked about funeral parlors and furniture stores and just, you know, anybody that works with wood and all the different things they can do. Well, this is just another aspect of that. You know, the wood-bodied cars were prevalent, were the only thing, really, for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm. And these furniture makers or coffin builders would begin making woodies or wood bodies for cars, mm-hmm. As a side business to their main line of income or an ancillary business. But quickly for some of them, this grew into their primary.
Yeah, sure. That was, it was very profitable, right? I mean, mm-hmm. it was something that, you know, they could ply their trade on, you know, this new fledgling startup type of thing, which was the automobile industry.
Mm-hmm.
And, they could kind of see where it went. And, you know, obviously there was a need for this. You know, people wanted all kinds of different special bodies on trucks, mm-hmm. on panel wagons for delivering, you know, goods and, you know,
the milkman
materials. Yeah, exactly. The milkman, would maybe require a different truck than would a carpenter. You know, so they had to, you know, figure out what type of bed to put on the back end of those things. Not only that, just the door panels, the area that covers the engine, even the frames of these cars were wood at that point.
Which is amazing. And one thing that I found that was interesting here, Scott, is that railroad companies would use these wooden-bodied cars to be something called depot hacks. Hmm. So these would be used by resorts. Sorry, not the railroad companies themselves, by resorts. Mm-hmm. Everything was crooked back then, so some of the resorts were doubtlessly owned by some of the same men in charge of the rails. And they would these resorts would use these custom-made wooden buses. They look kind of like small buses, mm-hmm. Called depot hacks, to go back and forth from the railroad station to the resort.
Very cool. And I've seen a couple of those that, maybe if you go to Disney World, mm-hmm. or if you go to, maybe Greenfield Village up in Michigan, someplace where they have a lot of historic vehicles that are actually, driving, touring on the property, that haul passengers still, you may be able to jump on one of these and take it for, a mile trip, just in a loop around the property or something like that. It's really cool, and they're very, very impressive when you see them, because they're exceptionally well crafted. Mm-hmm. Most of them. Kind of depends on the carpenter, I guess, and who built it. But, so this woody construction, this idea of, well, actually not the woody construction, but the idea of wood bodies was around right from the beginning. And then parts of the car started to be changed out with steel. Mm-hmm. And they started making steel frames for the cars. And
yeah, that was first.
Yeah, that was the first step. And then, the wooden wheels that had, the wooden spokes, mm-hmm. those were eventually switched over to steel spokes. And then, eventually, finally, they got around to the bodies of the cars, which were still wood at that point. And the funny thing is, though, the public still wanted wood bodies. And not only that, the craftsmen that were building them wanted to continue building them. The manufacturer yeah. said, we kind of like the look of that. Let's leave it on as a maybe decorative, in a decorative sense on some parts of the vehicle, but not all of it. So we're going to switch just a few pieces over to metal. Like the whole front end is going to be metal. The back end will be wood.
Mm-hmm. We'll just have panels of wood.
Exactly. And this all started about the mid-1930s when they started switching over to steel. And the steel bodies, they switched them mainly because of strength and cost and durability concerns, like I mentioned. Steel was, of course, stronger. It was a lot less expensive, I guess, when you just have to stamp out a piece of flat steel versus paying, somebody to cut and sand and finish mm-hmm. and, fix and fit and, all that for wood. And it potentially could last a lot longer. Now, that's not always the case, because, I was thinking about this on the way in, Ben.
Okay.
This is just a quick side note. I've seen abandoned woody vehicles, woody station wagons before, and, just photos. I've never stumbled across one myself, I don't think.
Okay.
But if you ever see a junkyard vehicle, an abandoned or neglected vehicle, mm-hmm. That was a woody car, woody station wagon, oftentimes the wood is going to be completely missing from that thing. So it's going to look like a framework mm-hmm. that's missing kind of just the center portion of it, because there is just there's a metal framework behind it that it attaches to, obviously, in some way, screws, bolts, whatever
sure.
it is. But the weather, the sun, the rain, snow, temperature changes, whatever.
Humidity,
all of that affects the wood first, long before it affects the steel. And I'm not talking about, little rust creeping in here or there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking like the wood disintegrates and goes away. It falls off. It just can't hang on any longer to the support. So a lot of times you'll see these woody cars that have been abandoned that, there's really just this framework left and these open holes where you can tell the wood panels were at one point.
There would have been wood.
Yeah. It's a little tough to say, yeah.
Before we keep going, let's go back to just the beginning of the 30s, because I found an interesting date here mm-hmm. that I wanted to see if our listeners could check. So everybody chime in if you know this one. I found somewhere that Ford introduced the first production Woody mm-hmm. in 1929.
Hmm.
And that other manufacturers had tried to join in, but it hadn't worked out as well to make these production vehicles. And that makes sense to me if that's true. Now, again, mm-hmm. I haven't cross-verified this in a couple of places enough to make me happy definitively about that.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that does make sense here is that we know there was a plethora, and I am using that word correctly, of car manufacturers in the 30s, right? And mm-hmm. a lot didn't
sure.
survive. And we know that there was this other almost cottage industry of people building custom coach bodies, right?
Sure.
Out of wood.
Yeah.
So to me, it makes more sense that these manufacturers would have limited success because they were trying to cut out the custom coach builder industry there, right?
Understood. Yeah, they're trying to minimize, the production cost on their end, as well as, you know, trying to, the cost overall, right? I mean, because
right,
they're trying,
yeah.
And I'm probably just stumbling upon myself here saying this twice, but they're trying to reduce costs really overall is what they're doing.
Yeah.
And it makes perfect sense. Are they going to get the same kind of craftsmanship that they're going to get at a custom coach builder? Probably not initially. But maybe later on, you know, maybe as things, you know, progress, maybe these guys get better and better at it. I'm sure they're not hiring anybody that's, you know, a hack, you know, somebody that can't really do anything, but, you know, doesn't even know which end of the saw to grab or whatever. But, can I, one more
yes.
side note? And I think that we have to mention this right now only because we're going to get past this quickly. And I wanted to bring it up.
Okay.
Just super fast. You remember how Henry Ford had his Fordlandia project, his rubber factory dream that he had in, the Amazon rainforest in Brazil?
Mm-hmm.
So that was a failed industry, I guess, or failed business, failed town, because he had counted on the fact that he was going to require so much rubber for his product. And he was, you know, purchasing this big plant, you know, down the middle of nowhere. But then along came synthetic rubber, which was around 1945.
Right.
And that kind of extinguished the need for his Fordlandia project altogether. I mean, there was no need for natural rubber at that point, or at least not as much natural rubber. He did the same thing. Henry Ford did the same thing in northern Michigan with Alberta Village and the Pequaming mill, this lumber mill that he purchased. And he founded a town called Alberta.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look up Alberta Village, you can find information about this. And I don't want to spend too much time on this, but this is where the interesting information comes in, is that early on, each car that Henry Ford produced required as much as 250 board feet of lumber to make. And now other things like shipping containers and railroad ties and boxcars and shipping bins and wood pallets and things like that, and pattern work, all that he required for his factory had to come from somewhere. And, you know, Ford, he was gonna supply his own stuff. He wanted to cut out the middleman, like we just talked about with removing the coach builders. So he acquired these lumber resources a lot like he did the Fordlandia project for the rubber resources. So look up Alberta Village. It's in northern Michigan. It's on Lake Superior.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting story behind that whole thing. And it's just typical Ford.
I am going to look that up. For listeners who don't know, Scott, you and I have become fairly versed in the life and times of Henry Ford.
It's strange, but along the way we have, because he comes up so often in so many different ways.
And
this is another one.
And he's a fascinating individual.
He really, really is.
One thing I want to note about Woody's here, the question about why didn't they make more of them immediately? Why weren't all these car companies entering into this? Chevrolet, from some stuff that I found, didn't enter into the Woody game until 1939. Hmm. But the catch was that Woodies were never really a profitable item for car makers in the beginning.
Hmm.
Because if you think about it, they're hand assembled. It's intense. As to your earlier point about using steel, it's a little bit easier to automate.
Yeah, sure. You can stamp out a piece of steel quickly in exactly the form that you want and just bolt it in place. That's completely different from, you know, the quality, the craftsmanship that goes into a hand lacquered piece of wood that fits perfectly onto a metal car body. And and it has to look right. It has to have the right grain. Everything has to be correct.
Can't just slap it on there.
No. This is a big time production in order to get something to look exactly right. But the public really did like it. I mean, I think that we'll find as we go through here that like the public, people still wanted that wood look, even though they had transitioned from wood bodies to metal bodies. I think a lot of people still had a love for that. I mean, it's kind of it's a warm feeling. You know, it's not cold and hard like metal. It's
right.
There's a lot of aesthetic reasons why people would like a wood body car or partially wood body cars, I guess, over a strictly steel car.
And it's interesting to note that throughout the entire time that the Woodies have been around, there are multiple, waves of nostalgia and people searching for that unique look. And every time it seems like they're kind of going off the radar, something happens and by golly, they're back on again. And, to the point about the popularity of Woody's, let's keep in mind that all steel wagons were also available, you know, even back in the 30s.
Oh, sure. All along they were. And this was something that was a customer choice. Now, we talked about how it started around the mid-1930s, or early 1930s, I should say, because you mentioned Ford with 1929 was kind of unofficially the first one, right?
Yeah.
Well, by the mid-1950s, I think, is about when this body style, this idea kind of dropped away, and it was mainly because of safety issues and, and strength and cost and durability and all that. But, the idea kind of hung around in the UK for just a little bit longer, maybe until 1960s, like mid-1960s.
Are we talking about the Morris Minor?
Yeah, there's that one, and I think there may even be a couple of others. And you'll find little hints of wood here and there on other bodies because, you know, it's still a fairly, it's an easy material to work with, of course, and you can even replace, I wonder how many pieces of Cuban cars are driving around right now, pieces of cars in Cuba
have been replaced
with wood. That's what I meant to say. Because we talked about how they have to manufacture their own parts, and they're very, very inventive about how they do that. I bet a lot of some of the steel parts have been replaced with wood on a lot of those cars down in Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
Same idea, sort of on a bigger scale, I guess, in that, you know, a manufacturer, if they need to quickly develop something for the new model line, they may at that time have just decided, let's just make this out of wood and we'll quickly get this done. And it's really, and, you know, even though it maybe is for a transitional piece or whatever, maybe it hung on or people enjoyed it, so they kept it. That's just speculation, I guess, at that point.
But before we go on, there's a really interesting twist that comes up with the Woody story here. Mm-hmm. Now, we've established, I'm setting it up here, we've established that the public really enjoyed the Woody cars, and still does, as we'll find later. Mm-hmm. We've also established that there's a wealth of reasons that these are a little bit difficult for car manufacturers.
Mm-hmm. All right, back to cars, because I just want to say something about the body style of most of these things. What we think of as Woody cars a lot of times are station wagons, right?
Right.
And I've always liked the station wagon bodies on cars, and I like the new ones. I like the modern BMWs, the modern Mercedes, some of these, like the Audi wagons. Those are all really cool to me. But I also have kind of this, this affinity for like the hot rod station wagons of the mid 60s.
Oh, and, we didn't even talk about this.
I know it. I mean, we're talking about like the Grand, not, this isn't a hot rod, but like the big Pontiac Grand Safari wagons and the Vista Cruisers and things like that. They're just so cool. And I've got kind of like a lot of different memories of riding in, you know, that rearward facing seat in
the
back of
cool.
Oh yeah. It was so much fun, you know, back, long time ago, like in the 70s, riding facing backwards in the back of a station wagon, you know, with the window up or down, didn't matter really. Maybe even hanging out the back, who knows. And, it was a lot of fun. And I had a small station wagon at one point. I had a Mercury Lynx station wagon, which was not the greatest, but it was cool. I thought it was interesting.
Why'd you pick up a station wagon?
It was $1, Ben. I bought it for $1 from a friend's father.
That is so cool.
Yeah. That was a long time ago. That's another story. I'll tell you that later. But, but, you know, just parents of friends that had station wagons or, you know, whatever. Even movies that had station wagons in them. They were kind of interesting. Like, the National Lampoon's, Vacation movie.
Yeah.
Do you remember the scene where he's buying I can't think of the name of it. The Wagon Queen family truckster. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
There's a great scene where he's buying that one. That car, by the way, the family truckster was designed by George Barris. I had no idea until just yesterday that was the case.
I had no idea either.
I know. That's such a crazy little movie fact. I mean, it doesn't look like a George Barris car.
No.
But
was that real wood on that one?
No, that was Ben, simulated wood grain.
Ah, and here we go, because as we mentioned before, we talked about objectified, Woodies, the original old school Woodies, were going into a bit of, I don't want to say a decline, but their numbers were diminishing in the late 50s, right?
Yeah.
And it looked like they might be just something, a historical footnote, except that the public liked the idea of the Woodies so much that the car manufacturers turned to each other had a little wink and a nod and said, well, we can't afford real wood, but it appears to be just a style over substance kind of thing.
Yeah.
So then we see the rise of simulated wood grain cars.
Isn't that crazy? It's so strange to me that, you know, from the very beginning, the very beginning when it's full wood bodies through the mid-1930s with the actual woody cars.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're doing away with them, and the public still wants wood on their cars. They say, you know, I like the look of it. It has a good feel to it. I enjoy, you know, this style. It becomes very, very popular to have a wood grain car, you know, like with just a vinyl decal on the side, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a simple application. It's really, really cheap for the manufacturers to do it. They put a frame around it, you know, when they're done. And that's it. I mean, it's just as simple as that. It has to kind of work with the body lines of the vehicle, of course. You know, there's some styling involved with it.
Sure,
But it was very, very popular, and it hung around for a long, long time again. I mean, in fact, it hung around until, I'm going to say, the early 1990s.
Yes. You can recognize things like Plymouth Voyagers, even the...
Oh, yeah, minivans.
Lots
of minivans ended up with wood grain on the side.
But also, still, there would be station wagons like... the Ford Country Squire. Oh, wait, that's a 68. I'm sorry. There were station wagons that still had that simulated wood. And people really seemed to take to it. I don't know what it was. Going back to Objectified, which now will not be out of my head again for another week. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Scott. All I can think of is that maybe they worked on minivans because they seemed like homey. You know?
I don't know.
It's a family car.
Well, it was kind of the vehicle that replaced the station wagon. So if you think
That's true, if you
think of it that way, you know, that people had these wood grain station wagons for all that time, from the 60s, the 70s, even into the early 80s. And then here in the mid 1980s, rather, you know, it comes Chrysler with its minivan that it's got, this new design. And, people are going to put this wood applique on it, I don't want to say contact paper, but it's similar. It's vinyl. And it's
DNOC, right?
Well, that could be it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think Ford has a patent on that name. I'm not sure.
Oh, okay.
But DNOC is, the stuff that they use to, they create the wood vinyl, like you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
They also use that to, and I'm finger quoting, paint their clay models back in the day. They would use that for, you know, the window applications. They would use it for the paint applications.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when they rolled out a clay model and it looked like it had been painted, it was really covered with that DNOC stuff.
I see.
Mm-hmm. So I've got good news for the people that still like wood grain, by the way. So don't let me get out of here today without mentioning
it. I won't, because I think we both have some good news. We'll do a back and forth, but I'll give you the last word before we do listener mail.
Okay.
So, you know, Chrysler offered simulated wood on the PT Cruiser.
Oh, yeah.
In 2000.
So
it's a little bit better than that. And, I wanted to let you know about George Barris. You guys may have heard me shuffling through my notes when we were talking about George Barris. We mentioned him. He created a woody version of the Smart 4.2, and another group offered an aftermarket simulated wood kit for the same car. So George Barris, also a fan of woodies, clearly.
I have a couple of photos of those two right in front of those two examples right in front of me. And, I dug a little bit deeper too. Mm-hmm. And I found a couple other examples that I think listeners may enjoy here. And this is not my good news part, by the way. There's more.
Okay.
there was a Ford Flex that was created in 2009 that had wood panels. Looks pretty sharp. I kind of like that. There's a Chevrolet Spark that has woody trim that, kind of 50-50 about that one. there's one that I really do like, though. I'm going to save that one for last. But there is also a Jeep Wrangler four-door Woodsman edition that a designer. Now these are just styled. The company didn't put these out. Someone photoshopped these. However, the designs look really solid.
Oh, I thought the Spark was real. The Chevy Spark, I thought.
The Spark is real.
Okay.
Yeah, that is real. The one that I'm mentioning right now, this Woodsman edition,
mm-hmm.
Wrangler four-door. That one looks pretty sharp. I think it looks good. It just seems to be a good fit because remember the Jeep Wagoneers, how they had the wood grain on the side?
Yeah.
That just seemed to look and feel right. I don't know. There's something about that vehicle, that shape, that body style, and it just seemed to work. So maybe it's just because of the classic estate wagon designs and everything. You know, it looks like a grown-up version of that, maybe. He also has, the same designer also has a Buick Apollo MPV estate wagon that he designed. But the one I'm excited about, Ben, is this one right here, and I'm pointing to it. If you search for these words, you'll find a photo of this and the designer that does this kind of thing. It's just, again, it's just a
mock-up.
A design and, study design.
Yeah.
Search for Audi A4 All-Road Black Forest Edition, and you're going to see an Audi All-Road station wagon, wagon body, I should say, that has I guess it would be simulated wood grain. It's not real wood panels or anything on it, but I think that design looks fantastic. I mean, it just really, it looks really, really classy, really nice, distinctive. And a lot of the vehicles that had this, along the way, there were some vehicles that it didn't quite work on, and I can't quite figure out why it works on some and why it doesn't work on others.
I'll tell you what, I don't think it works on that Spark.
I don't think so either, and that's a very good example. But like you look back at and some may argue this, but the AMC Eagle vehicles, the all-wheel drive vehicles that were kind of squat, four-wheel drive, they were up real high. I just did never like it on those vehicles. I don't know why. It was a personal preference thing. But I did like it on like the great big Pontiac Grand Safari wagons. And I liked it on, the Vista Cruisers and things like that. Those giant station wagons looked really cool.
Yeah, I'll be honest. This is also just my personal preference. I don't think it looks good on short cars.
No. And this isn't my one more thing also.
Okay.
But one more thing I do want to show you, Ben, is that, because you're a Packard fan. So this is going back to a true wood body though.
This is amazing.
I just showed Ben a 1949 Packard Woody station wagon.
Sedan.
Again, awesome. take a look at that if you get a chance. Do a keyword search for it.
Yeah, and it's worth looking at because, Scott, this is an excellent photo. May I keep this?
Yes, you can have that.
Oh, thank you. Because the wood panels have glass interlaced in them, so they're not entirely solid panels.
Very nice. Very nice.
Okay, so I promise that you would have the last word here, and thank you for this gift. I also want to end, we like to end on saying something that people can do in the future,
sure,
if they wish. So if you enjoy woody cars, if you like to learn more about them, then one of the first steps you can take is to join the National Woody Club if you live in the United States, because they have pictures of woodies, there's a trading area for selling, buying woodies. You can learn more about your woody. You can post pictures and ask questions about it. It's a great resource to go to.
That sounds really cool. I'm going to check that out, because usually the galleries in those groups have some just fantastic photos of show cars and cars that people are working on, project cars, maybe how they found it when the wood was completely missing, like we mentioned early in this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you'll find a lot of stuff there. Now, this kind of goes along with that, because my final thing that I wanted to mention here, I have other stuff, but I'm just going to leave it at this, okay?
Okay.
For people that do like wood grain bodied vehicles and, the simulated wood grain, there is some good and modern news for you here, that you can go to a place called, woodgrain4wagons.com. And what they have is they have digitally reproduced wood grain, that's cast on vinyl, and it's replacement wood grain for restoration, or, they also have fiberglass, they have aluminum trim for the same vehicles, so a lot of times when you'll see these, wood grains, you'll see the flat wood grain on the panel, and you'll see a trim all around it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that fiberglass or that aluminum oftentimes gets damaged. Well, that, they also provide that. And they've got this fantastic area. If you go into their gallery and you look around and find out what they're doing, this stuff, I mean, and I'll tell you, this stuff, it's really, really impressive. It's really crisp. It's really clean. It's impressive result. It's kind of like, when you walk into a house and they have brand new wood floors.
Yes.
And it's very shiny and everything's just perfectly, perfectly done. The trim work is all painted and everything. That's the same effect you get when you see the vehicles that you'll see in the gallery on the site. And they specialize in like the Ford Country Squire wagons, and the Mercury Colony Park models, but they do have other types of vehicles that they supply for. So, they supply for the Buick Sport Wagon, Oldsmobile Vista Cruisers, the Chrysler Town and Country Wagons, International Travelall, Jeep Wagoneer, all of them are extremely nice looking. I mean, if you check out the gallery, you're going to see exactly what I mean. They're really, really, really nice examples. Now, my favorite, if you go in there, there's some good photographs there, and most of them have two or three photographs of the actual product. Look for the 1967 Country Squire wagon, and it's the only one that's in the gallery. That's my favorite, my personal favorite, but it's a very good example of what they're doing at woodgrain4wagons.com, and that's for somebody who, you know, has kind of this interest that hasn't gone away for the wood, you know, simulated wood grain, I guess.
I think there are a lot of people who are on board with this. And right before we head out, you want to do some listener mail?
Let's do it.
Okay. Super short one. Alex from Connecticut writes in to say, "Hey, guys, I was listening to your episode about the Karmann Ghia, and it got me interested in the history of cars. I took a look through your episodes, and I didn't notice this one, but what about the history of the Austin Cooper Mini? It's got a ton of history behind it, so I thought it would be a good episode."
Not a bad idea. I think I can't believe we haven't done a Mini episode at this point. And actually, you know, back to the classic Mini, right?
Yeah.
Oh, so yeah, why not? Let's you know, load that one up.
Well, thank you for writing to us, Alex, from Connecticut. It appears that you just got the green light to inspire another episode of Car Stuff. Scott, we are going to head out now. We hope that everybody enjoyed our Woody episode, and we'll stay tuned for our Austin Cooper Mini in the future, which we'll have a few surprises before then, too. But if you want to take a cue from Alex and let us know what you think about Woody's, or, ooh, I'd love some pictures of cars if anybody owns them.
Oh, very nice. Yeah, that would be great. Or even a simulated wood grain car. If somebody has something with that on it, it'd be fantastic.
Absolutely, especially if you did it yourself, because we respect that sort of stuff. You can drop us a line on Facebook, where we are Car Stuff. We are Car Stuff on Twitter as well. And you can send us an email directly at
carstuff@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@HowStuffWorks.com.